Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Todd Drake, and I am a human rights artist from New York City. Before that, I lived in North Carolina for, 50 years, it seems like. I was there from 69 until 2014, and made a big jump north in 2014. So many people are moving south that the car rental place rented us a moving truck and gave us a 25% discount because we're going north. Nobody's going north. So we did something kind of out of the ordinary and started a new chapter in New York City. I am an educator there, an activist, and practicing artist. And my theme is around the idea that we're all equally human. And I make art to remind us of that fact. That seems like a simple statement, but it gets played in the wrong direction so often in so many subtle ways. So my work around undocumented immigration, around Muslim American acceptance and xenophobia have inspired some people and angered other people and challenged even more. So I feel like it's a good thing to put my life to. I didn't take any formal photography classes in school. I was a painting major. I learned how to compose compositions through paint. But photography is the same type of animal. At least it is now with digital photography. I would say that digital photography is actually painting with digits now. You know, you can go to Photoshop and do anything you want. So I didn't really get active in photography until the digital revolution. And I did it out of necessity because I was working a lot with communities of people. I received a Rockefeller Fellowship in 2004 and was traveling all around. I was paid to travel and have art with different groups of people, make art with different groups. And we did a small painting project, which I thought would take a month or two. It ended up taking the whole year of going back and back and back because novice painters take so long to paint. And I thought, I gotta somehow make this go faster. So I thought, oh, I'll add photography, right? Snap, done. We've done our project. I can move on. Well, what I really quickly understood was that if I was going to do anything other than just more street photography, I had to know the community. And so I had to slow down and get to know them. And I took the time to get to know the undocumented community, the Muslim American community. And it ended up taking years to take pictures as well. But it was a process of getting, you know, to know that community and see them from the inside to help them tell their story, not me tell their story. And I've tried to create art that keeps that lens in mind, that anything I make, if it doesn't ring true to the subject that's involved, then I've just fallen back into that tourist kind of trap where I'm assigning meaning to someone's face or their life story. So, yeah, I've created work in the United States, and then that work has taken me to places like the Middle East with my wife. We've been to Bahrain. I've been to Saudi Arabia twice, to the Palestinian West Bank, all over the West Bank. I felt like I was shopping for a house there because I went to every corner. And then also to Turkey, where I did a big project documenting some wonderful things happening there. And most all of that was with the State Department. And then my bodies of work have traveled to universities and colleges, and they provoke and raise questions and present to young people images that are meant to make them think, not just decoration, right? So, yeah, it's been a fun ride. In New York, I'm now doing more painting and other kind of printmaking processes out of kind of a missing of the making process. And luckily today, artists are allowed to be multi-dimensional, right? We can be painters and photographers and printmakers and nobody, or performance artists, nobody's going to condemn us harshly for that like it used to happen. So, yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm making stickers that are promoting human rights. I went to the U.S. border where my son is working as an attorney, and he took me to see the wall, and somebody, I don't know who, had put my stickers up on the wall. It was amazing, and I just had to take a picture of it. So I'm very proud that my immigrant positive stickers are maybe going to be seen by some border guards or some immigrants needing a boost.
And people can find your work online, right?
Yeah, I'm. If you Google Todd Drake painter or Todd Drake photographer, a lot of the work shows up. Also, theequalist.com, the-equalist.com is my website. And both my painting projects, my book projects, and my photography are all there.
Do they have stories that go with them?
Yeah, they all have stories. A lot of times the paintings or the photographs themselves, I photoshopped in the writing of the person. So a young child who's homeless is writing about that, and then that gets added into the picture. In hopefully some creative and varied ways. The book projects are narrative in nature, and one that I did called Give Me Eyes is the story of immigrants crossing the border and coming to the United States, and one dies in the process. So it's meant to be like a children's book, but it's a very serious subject. And
it brings a major awareness.
Yeah, I hope. And then a recent series of paintings that I did are based on a document I found from a clinic that helps survivors of torture, and it listed the 100 ways that children exhibit trauma, bedwetting, you know, fear of strangers, all that kind of thing. And so I took that list of 100 and I created as many paintings that I could to go along with that. And that was my meditation and protest on what we're doing to children at the border that are coming in, and they're being torn from their families and treated like animals. And I'm hoping that will get out and inspire people to understand that this is a deeply dangerous thing that we've done, that we have all but put children on hooks and shot them. It might be better that we had, because now they're going to have lifetimes of trauma echoing through their lives.
And how do we fix this?
And how do we fix that? So yeah, you know, we don't see those children as our equal. They're not our kids, right? They're somebody else's things. And there you go. It comes back to that basic human right that we're all equal. And as climate changes and waters rise and my home state is submerged in water, many of my North Carolinian brothers and sisters are going to want to immigrate. And so we've got to figure out how to make that system work, I think. Not just out of like generosity to the stranger, but from our own self-interest.
That's excellent.
Thank you.
I can get a great podcast out of that.
Yay!
I can take this end part and put it towards the beginning.
Okay.
And
whatever you want to
about
do.
About that, I'll go with part of your introduction and
yeah,
what you do, and then just this whole, like, yeah. It's touching. The work you do is amazing.
Thank you. And
you know, you look at the pictures and you can see the emotions. You can see the loneliness or the fear or, you know, what's going on.
I think, you know, we talk about love a lot, but really what we should be hoping for is melancholy love. Melancholy love is more expansive, and it takes in empathy. It takes in the human response to the other. It's not just, ooh, I love my new water bottle, right? That's love too, right? Ooh, I love my new, you know, Jaguar or, you know, Maserati. That other melancholy love recognizes that you've experienced loss, that you're struggling, or that I have had loss and that I have struggled. And it's that common shared deeper love that binds us, really. If not, it's just lust, right? There is no real love. It's either lust or melancholy love.
That's a good way. I like that. And that's like the unity of love. That's totally what it is.
Yeah, it's the unity of the human experience. Mm-hmm. We've all, you know, a lot of people this week have talked about, you know, your story's my story. Your family's going through a divorce. I went through the same kind of divorce, and it's we're all records playing very similar songs, and yet we think we stand alone somehow. And you know, we're unique. Well, yes, we're unique. We're a snowflake, but we're still all falling from the sky.
All related.
Yeah.
I mean, this is great.
Yay!
You feel good about it?
I feel great. I hope you.
Let's see if I make sure I know how to do this.
How to turn it off?
Shut it.
I first saw wonderful photos of this like Santa Wonderland village of my good friends Deborah and Glenn Doring, you know, playing drums and hugging people and having little parades and walking in these beautiful spaces. And I was like, where is this? And when we got together as friends, they told me about Holden and told me that I might have an opportunity to work here like they had. So I applied and was accepted. My wife also applied, and her project on autism didn't fit the theme of this week. And though it does fit the theme of the summer, which is about love, she elected to stay back. And I wish she were here because she also needs this place. Yeah, so what we've tried to do is provide a venue to tackle some pretty challenging and deep topics. The first is, can you reimagine a story of importance to yourself? We all are defined by the stories we tell. That is how I know you and how you know me, is through the stories we tell each other. And sometimes those stories can be crippling and damaging in various ways. So I wanted to give participants an opportunity to reframe those stories or to create a new story that would inspire them, you know, moving forward. The second thing I wanted participants to do is to find their story within this landscape. You know, we're mostly all from not here, right? There's a few of us in at Holden, maybe we're born here or have grown up here, but we're all tourists. We're all coming in from outside. And I think the danger of being a tourist is that we look at the surface of the place and don't really come to see ourselves in this place. And it's similar to how when we travel and meet people, we see them as exotic and different. I remember the old Vietnamese war era bumper sticker, you know, join the military and travel to exotic places, meet interesting people, and kill them. Dangerous, I think, to be just a tourist in a place like this. I think you've got to make a connection with the place so that it becomes as important to you as your own limbs or your own heart. Where in this landscape do I find my story? I'm coming from a very chaotic end of a school year experience, and I went down by the creek and sat for an hour in silence. I'm a practicing Quaker now with lots of experience in the past with the Lutheran Church. I was a member for years. And I was sitting in silence, and I noticed this chaos in a stream. Beautiful, chaotic waves. And I thought, this might be interesting to photograph when I come out of my meditation. And I sat watching it, and I realized over time that the waves from the stream, right, this is a babbling brook stream, you know, tumbling down to the ocean, they were pushing waves against this irregular shoreline, and the shoreline was echoing back, was reflecting back waves, and it was the intersection of those two wave patterns that were creating this chaos. And I thought, that's my life right now, right? So I'm coming out of a very chaotic place, but if I give it time, if I step back and think about it, I can see the pattern, and I can see the order that I'm really living inside of, not the chaos that I see on the surface. And so that's been like my image. That's been my connection to this place, and it's made me love this place even more than just, you know, the beautiful buildings and the pretty snow-capped mountains. So that's another thing I hope my students will take a moment to try to find, and I've challenged them that. And I've also challenged them to take better photography, you know, pictures through a composition, a scavenger hunt. And I was thinking about the importance of composition and balance. So there's three types of balance. There's symmetric asymmetric and radial. And in this mindset that I'm in, where, you know, the material becomes like a spiritual thing or an idea thing, I thought, you know, Holden has all three of those kinds of compositions here. When you think about symmetric balance, it's the sameness of both sides, right? And at Holden, you have family members that are here, right? My brother, my sister, my mother has come. There's that sameness of balance. Holden also has asymmetry, right? It has compositions of asymmetry where I'm a Quaker, you're a Lutheran, you're old, I'm older, you know, you're a child, I'm a person of color, and so there's that beautiful asymmetry that's here. And then the third type of balance, the radial balance, which is balance that comes out from a point outward, I think can be interpreted spiritually as the balance of God. And also, as a Quaker, I think about centering, coming to the center, which is could be said coming to God, right? So there's that balance here too. And I think any great museum has all of those compositions in it, any great work of art does, and a great place like Holden does. We have to love ourselves. We have to love the stories that define who we are, right? I have a family divorce situation that I'm grappling with, and how do I come to love that experience and not just feel bitter about it? It's another family member that's divorcing, not my wife and I, but it's still very impactful. So loving yourself, loving the land in a way that makes it me. And I think First Peoples, the Native Americans, I think knew that. And we've lost that as colonizers, right? This place is just a wonderful resource. This is a beautiful vacation spot. And that's the danger of being a tourist / colonist. So loving the land. And then being able to love each other, even though we're coming from very different places. You know.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.